Right, tonight on the pod, because we've no cable, we've got Sean Paul, Neil, and Damo. Yeah, Damo. We're going to be talking what's just happened, why we aren't jumping around like ecstatic jumping beans for no reason, what's going to happen, how do we fix what's been going on in between that, and then also having a look at the great spinach and lettuce drought of 2017. All this and more, so lads, what's the score?
Right, lads. How are you? First of all, we've Sean Paul, Neil, and Damo, and not Sean Paul, the Jamaican rapper. Sean Paul. And I'm Phil. Steve-O's not here tonight. He's broken his legs. he's actually broken his legs. Right, lads. So we haven't been in for a couple of weeks, maybe months. I don't know.
Technical difficulties.
People were wondering why we didn't come in more on after Hull and stuff like that. Well, no. If people wanted to hear what was wrong, they could have listened to any podcast we've made from December right the way through to the whole game, because nothing changed. It was all the same. So then somebody accused us of only doing pods when we win. So we don't have a match for a couple of weeks, so we may as well discuss it. But so we had the Tottenham and the Hull game, and they were sort of two. They're probably our season in microcosm. Damo, you haven't been in for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know. How did you feel over the two matches? And what's sticking out for you? What's jumping out at you and eating you?
There's fucking so many problems. Like, still, it's right from the start of the season. I think I said it in our group way back. We can't break teams down that are going to sit deep against us. Mm. We haven't got the players in midfield to do it, I don't think. They're fine against teams that open up a little bit as they come against us, because we've got the legs and energy to kind of press them and break them down quick. And then we've got the pace of Mane and the movement of Firmino up front. But when teams sit so deep against us, the two lads in the middle of the park, there's only way you can break down a team that sits so deep is by moving the ball quickly or having players out wide who will take on somebody and stretch teams. Mm. We haven't got anyone that does that. And the two lads in the middle of the park are just too slow in possession. That's not going to change. The players we have are the players we have now until the end of the season. And we're still going to come up against them problems, yep, against teams that are going to sit deep against us. I still think any other team that we come up against that will play open against us, we will beat. You know, I said on the before the game against Spurs, I felt we beat them. Knew we beat them.
Did you not say that the Mr. Red won in the forward tour?
Fucking bastard. Well, like, I want so much horse racing because the football was shooting. But like, that's in a nutshell for me. It's, we have the quality to beat teams that will open up and play us. But like, Mourinho was the first person to really cop on to us this season, and he just set and blocked everything we've done. And we struggled with it, and everyone kind of learned from Mourinho when he done it against us. Mm. And I don't see that changing a lot from now to the end of the season, unless Klopp changes something slightly.
Nilo, great to have you back after your stint on First Dates. Do the voice you did on First Dates.
I've never seen First Dates.
Fuck off! I've never seen it because you were on it. Yeah. Hell, I hear that yourself and himself.
I was in the gun clinic. Anyway,
so, but you're one of the biggest Klopp fans in the group.
Yeah,
thanks for that.
No,
I am a fan of his. I'm not a fan of people who love him, regardless of matter what he does.
Grand. Neil, Dame was calling that the negatives are still the negatives and nothing's really changed with it. But for you, is there anything really positive to take away from the Spurs game outside of the
3 points?
Yeah,
there was a few positive things. Wijnaldum was excellent.
That right, Phil?
Can't leave it. No, but for positive, he was really good. We didn't concede. They didn't get it. They didn't get a shot on goal. All them things are positive. Should be only a fucking idiot if you didn't say they were positive. Mm. But the fact is, we didn't like them. I'm just going to repeat what Damo said. We didn't learn anything.
Okay, then. Paul, anything different that Damo said? Do you want to add?
No, not really.
Okay, great. Sean?
No,
nothing.
Honestly,
well, that's great positive.
Go on. No, but we had an opportunity maybe to learn something new. And I don't think we really did. I mean, it would have been the perfect opportunity. I was undecided what he should do with the goalkeeper particularly. And he didn't change him. So it looks like he's not going to change him. So he didn't learn anything new there.
Mignolet played well as well.
He won a good save as well, I remember, from that. Yeah. Stone, wasn't that his name?
Yeah, I tell him.
We didn't learn anything new. I don't know what more I can say about it, because we, they, no matter the... We do run more than any other team in the league. And if Spurs were going to challenge them, that they were going to come second. And it was foolish from Pochettino, I think.
Yeah.
When what he should have done was surprised,
given everything that had gone on in the 10 matches beforehand, were you surprised with the approach Spurs took to that game?
Yeah, because I remember after about 10 minutes, I seen Dea and fucking, I think it was Olive Oil. And there was literally 10 yards between them and the centre circle. And they were playing a high line. Whereas basically every game before that, even Chelsea kind of set up with two banks as well with their rigid formation. But Spurs, I thought Pochettino would have had the tactical nous to say, look,
sit here. Tactical nous?
To sit back and say, look, invite these on and we'll beat them on the break because they have got pace, but they didn't. And they came out and they tried to scrap us in the middle of the park. We won every battle. And then Mane then breaking forward, getting in behind teams, which we haven't done since he went. And we won the game. But shows that plan A still works. And we'll know in 2 weeks now in Leicester.
Paul, you're only here for the next 20 minutes because you're a bit hungover.
Yeah.
So from your point of view, what are we doing out on a Wednesday, mate? Yeah, in the Champions League, aren't
they? Just fancied it.
You just fancied it?
Yeah.
You want to see what it was like to be in, like, around a pub in a Champions League night just to get that atmosphere?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
With a Giroud jersey on yesterday.
Living vicariously through Arsenal.
Yeah.
What were you going to ask me?
Well, that's all I wanted to know. Like, you said don't ask me any questions, so I'm just going to ask you.
Well, I'm off, so.
You saw the game, you've watched all the games beforehand. What's the biggest question mark that keeps coming out of it for you? I know Damo said about not being able to break teams down. Do you think we have learned anything over the last month? And I'm putting it this way because when you look at our run-in, we've only got two teams left out of the top six to play between now and the end of May. And our biggest issue is beating these teams that are at the bottom. And we keep dropping points against teams that are in the last six. So for us to have any way of a good run-in, and potentially go on a run, right? We're going to have to change the way we've been playing. So
yeah, we'll learn a lot more against Leicester, no matter what the result. We'll learn whether we're still geek against shy teams or if we have learned. So I don't think you can say it after the Spurs game whether we have. We need to move the ball far quicker and take more chances in the final tour. Like against Hull, it was literally just strolling up to their box and setting up camp there, nobody doing it. And then eventually getting frustrated and throwing a lofty, wafty cross in from Milner, basically. So we need to try and take more chances, like not wait around for the perfect pass because it's not going to come against. There's no 100% gilt-edged chance you're going to make against these teams.
Yeah.
So you have to take more chances, put more balls in earlier.
But do we need to put balls? Do we need to keep doing crossies? Because no, for all of January, we've just keep putting. we do need to put the back wheels in.
Need to put the back wheels in.
But in reality, though, is crossing isn't gonna. We don't have the players. Like if we're gonna resort to lumping crosses in, why did we sell Benteke?
That's exactly. No, but there's times when we move the ball out wide and the defence is a bit out of position and you could put the ball in even low behind.
On a diagonal?
And we don't do it. Low.
Perpendicular?
Yeah.
What you don't see a lot of as well, though, like when we do get it on the edge of the box, Coutinho and the likes of them do take far too much out of it. Yeah. I'd like to see us kind of do a bit of wall passing, bouncing it off Firmino and then a second man running.
A few hockey assists.
Yeah, that's it. But we don't get anyone fucking running off the ball.
That's a real problem when you start doing that.
No, yeah. We've stopped.
When you stop shooting,
you're never going to win anything.
No,
unless you're playing against us. You don't even need to shoot to win against us.
I don't know. Like, there's two ways of looking at it, right? Did Klopp try and change it and then players are incapable of taking instruction? Or did he not try and change it? If that's the case, that makes him an absolute fucking idiot.
I think he's shown too much trust in certain players. And now, I'm not knocking the players because they do a certain job from a certain times. But, like, we have got times where Jekyll and Hyde. We're either fucking really good or we're really shit.
Yeah, but depending on who we're playing against. So that's our problem then, isn't it? Because like you could see, maybe it was the whole game or maybe the one before that, I can't quite remember. But it was in the last 20 minutes and Klopp was usually up jumping around and he was just sitting there with his arms folded and it was like a look of resignation. And I don't know whether it was frustration because why won't these fucking idiots do what I'm asking them to do? Or
I don't think they're capable.
That's what I'm asking you. So is it a problem with the players or is it a problem with the managers? And if it's the players, it's mentality then.
No, it's not necessarily mentality. It's ability as much as mentality.
Like, I think they're...
No, it's not. You can send Henderson out and you can say, press the bollocks out of him, close him. He'll do a great fucking job for you. If you get him in the middle of the park and say, I want you to move that fucking ball quickly, I want you to move it as quick as possible, left to right, he'll do it, but he'll do it a lot slower than a really, really good fucking player that can do that.
I know, I understand what you're saying. Well, maybe Henderson is probably maybe the exception that proves the rule. Then look at Firmino, for example. How could he be as good as he was the other night and then the week before that, just abject, awful?
Because there's not a lot
and
more...
And then Lallana was poor. Coutinho's come back from injury, probably has a bit of an excuse. He was...
Because we have never... It's more space in the final thirds.
Yeah, we have never, for... Jesus. Probably since 13-14, we have never been able to figure out how to break down stacked defences against us. Yeah. Now, there's an element of mentality here, because if you look at all they were starting to smell themselves at the start of December, right? They were sitting pretty in the league, and we were talking about, you know, and the players were coming out and saying, you know, we feel confident, and, you know, we know we just have to take a game at a time and stuff like this, right? They were starting to smell themselves. When they went on that little bad run, they were still coming out saying, we're going to turn this around, right? Before the Spurs game, we're now talking about crisis meetings between the players.
Yeah.
All this type of stuff that's going on.
I was talking about that during the week. Yeah, it's a fucking joke.
Like. And so I don't want to hear about crisis meetings between the players. Yeah. Like, that should have been happening 4 or 5 weeks ago. You don't wait till you get 1 win in 10 matches and then you have crisis meetings. Right? And it's like, and Jordan pulled us together to do this. Fuck it, that should have been done 5 games ago.
Even coming out in the press and saying, our confidence was really low. What the fuck? How in the name of Jesus is your confidence really low? And anyway, if it is, we don't need to know that.
Yeah.
Surely we don't need to know it.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head there, Phil. 13-14 was the last one. We kind of really found out how to fucking open things up. What had we got in 13-14 that we don't have now in midfield?
The best striker in the world.
Yeah, that as well, but we had Steven Gerrard. Now, he was a fucking abysmal defensive midfielder. But if you watched him, everything he done quickly. He released the ball a lot quicker than anyone. He done everything with one touch. He had his head up as straight as he got
what
it. He done.
What worked in that season was he had, generally, if he was playing, he had Allen and Henderson alongside him.
Yeah,
so he didn't have to do his running.
Exactly.
When it started going wrong for us, it was when we didn't have one of Allen. We didn't have both Allen and Henderson beside him.
Exactly.
It was Lucas creeped back into the team, right? And I'll say, right? We were flying up until the start of December, and Lucas creeped back into this team.
And everyone goes, on the side, what the fuck's he doing in the pitch? How did he get on?
It's like he waves a fucking. It's like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Good
to see you. You will start, Lucas. I will start, Lucas. You're starting. And out he goes. It's like it's unbelievable. But like again, if you look at the way our season has gone down, and people are getting fucking pissed off about us saying this, right? But I don't give a shit. Since Lucas and Clavin and the players of that ilk have had more of a role in that team in that period, we have looked a mid-table side. When those players weren't getting a look in, we spent most of September, October, November getting excited at the fact that Lucas would finally be leaving the club in January, right? And he's still there. He's still fucking there. And it also coincides when we look like another mid-table average side. And we've dropped from second, challenging for the league, to fifth, hoping that the likes of United and Everton can catch us. Yeah. And that we might be able to get back into the top four.
But you know what? As mad as it sounds, Lucas are an ordinary club lover and player. Put them in against the top six sides. They'll do a fucking job for you. And you can kind of say, I want you to do a particular role, break down the fucking play, close this, and they'll do it fine for you. It's when teams come and sit low, they actually haven't got the ability to fucking open up teams. They haven't got the technical.
There's no need for players like that in those games either, to be honest with you. Like,
there's not, no.
Like, oh, the whole game.
There's no need for
them. They had no attacking threat whatsoever.
Yeah.
But they beat us 2-0.
Yeah. I would rather see in those games, and Neil fucking scoff at this, but I'd rather see, I don't want to see Lucas ever play at centre-back. I don't ever see Lucas play for Liverpool Football Club again. I don't care how well he plays against Spurs. I never want to see him play again.
He's going to tweet you now, Phil.
I don't give a fuck. He can tweet me all he wants.
Yeah, that was pathetic as well, that one.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've been shooting for 10 years, but my bollocks are huge now. After that 2-0 win on Spurs, they've got to call someone out.
Let's celebrate we won the 2-0 win. Like, that's bollocks, right?
Yeah.
Like, what I want to see is, I would rather see, against shit teams like Hull, I would play Emre Can as a centre-back if we're missing centre-backs, right? And you'd have Wijnaldum and Lallana and Henderson in midfield, right? You don't, because effectively what Can is going to do is going to step into midfield and be an extra body as an attacking threat. You don't need to have fucking two out-and-out centre-backs.
Yeah.
And then you probably look to do something with your wing-backs. You're playing Kloin, who we all admit is a great defensive fullback.
Yeah.
But when you're going to play against a team who's not going to attack you,
he's not. It takes Trent Alexander.
I remember us having this conversation here last year. Yeah. You know, the very same conversation about playing Moreno, particularly against teams who are just going to sit back.
Yeah,
and, so just
and let him get on and let him push push down. If they're going to push back, he's going to give you a width, right? Even if you have to, if you want to do something, okay, maybe you push Milner back into centre midfield, because. Like that, he can move the ball quickly in centre midfield. I'm not saying he's the answer, but against those teams, you aren't going to break against
him. Even with Moreno, I know he was shocking, but he's not unplayable. Like, the away game at Palace, like, a lot of their attacks stem from him.
He did well
He did do well that game. And it's I think it's the only game I actually remember him starting in the league. So, like, he's bad, but he's not unplayable. To the fact, like, Milner looked bollocks in that run of 10 games. Like, he was out on his ass after 15 minutes
against
Hull.
You've been saying that for weeks now.
Yeah.
After 10 minutes, Milner looks like a fella who's played 95 minutes.
Like, the whole game, that bit, you know, where your man got injured, like, it was like Milner was bollocks. The ball was bouncing towards him, and he's just like, let the ball come to you. And he's like, the defender starts going, like, hang on, this fella's not moving, I can win the ball. And eventually Milner kind of staggers over, falls into him, and gives away a goal kick, and nearly takes your man's head off. Because he's staggering around, he's bollocks, like.
Yeah.
So just play Moreno. Give Milner a nice little rest.
Why not play Moreno?
Look, against shy teams.
I'm not saying that the big games. The big games, we have a system set up and a group of players who can clearly do a job. But we need something different to happen in these games. Playing the same players who are playing the big games doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's been proven over and over again.
You can't expect the same system to work for 28 games in the league season either. No. Regardless if it's home or away or the opposition. You obviously... We have the top six game and the big game mentality nailed down because we've been good across the board. I can't remember like a performance against the top six sides where we could actually turn around and say, geez, we were rubbish. Mm. But it's the lesser teams. Like, we don't need two players holding in the midfield. We don't need Chan and Henderson fucking falling over each other in the middle of the park. Mm, we need runners from midfield in the box causing defensive problems, and which Wijnaldum done brilliantly at Newcastle. For and they didn't have as much ball as we do, but he didn't even play him against Hull,
I'll say to you, right, arguably Emery Chan's most consistently good spell at this club has come as a tour centre back in a tree at the back.
I know
I'm a big fan of him. I'm going to say it, but he hasn't been playing well in centre midfield this year. So do you know what, to try to get a player back into form, you've got Matip, who played in a tree at the back for Schalke last year, who's comfortable playing there. Emery Chan, we know, can play there, and he's playing more than comfortable playing there. And Lovren, arguably, if you put him as the central of the three backs, where he's not going to get done over the top of the pace or whatever, and he'll cover around
him. He'll still be shy.
But even so Scare looked all right in that, didn't he?
You know, he's going to be better than a shit Brazilian rancher playing at centre back. Do you know what I mean? Like, genuinely. Seriously. But we've given Joe Gomez a big contract for 5 years. And he hasn't played a game since he got the contract.
Yeah.
Kevin Stewart has been given a contract for whatever amount he is.
Because he's fit, apparently.
Yeah, I read that.
He's super fit. Yeah. He's in the next Marvel comic, he is. Super fit Stewart.
I'm afraid he's one of his... Well, you should just go and run around Melwood during the day and see if he can get a contract.
He's one of his superheroes. He's there as the Avengers. Super fit. He's with the rest of the lads. But like, this is what I'm saying to you. We have these players. Damo says we're stuck with the players that we have until the end of the season.
Yeah.
But we've signed an awful lot of players. We've bigged up a lot of players in the press. We've bigged up a lot of players that's going on. And yet these players don't seem to be able to get a run of the team unless we're playing a cup game. That's a meaningless cup game.
But that's what us as fans fucking do, you know what I mean? Like, it's Twitter is ridiculous at times when you see a fucking player signed from fucking Norley Bogdan. You know, like, yeah, he's grand. Yeah, he's good backup keeper. No, he's not. He's shy. He always was shy. Yeah. Why are we bigging him up? No. And we do that. But I tell you, I just think we're missing the player that has the picture in his head before he even fucking gets the ball. You know, we have Henderson and Kahn and Wijnaldum. They're all very good at what they do, but they will all take a touch and a second touch and then move it.
Coutinho has it in him in spots, but he's not consistent enough to rely on.
We haven't had a player like that since Alonso.
Yeah,
the pitcher's already, you know, knows what he wants to do before he even gets the fucking ball.
There's few like him out there.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get somebody probably at the same level as him. So what you need to do is get something that's 80% Alonso.
Yeah.
To play that system that Klopp wants to play the midfield the way he wants to play, we need an 80% Alonso.
I think that's why he was looking at Dahoud for, because that's what he does.
I know, yeah. It's the same Yaramendi and that Sociedad. Same type player. Yeah, there's plenty of players. If you when the link with your man Zielinski, He was meant to sit there and play, and it was a quick pass in midfield.
Madrid, he was actually decent. He was doing that. He was getting them when the ball was breaking. He was just going bang out wide into the wings. Napoli fast wingers getting onto the end of it, getting the team up the pitch, breaking other teams down.
He had a Liverpool jersey.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I didn't put underpants on last night.
Training.
He's a fucking dope. I'm delighted.
He's branded, but even like, you know, against the back wheels.
You know, against the shy teams, I'd like Klopp to say something to them, like, you know, say,
if you don't win, you're fired. You know, it's simple as that.
But, you know, say when we're in the final third, if they're camped back and we have the ball and we're trying to move it around the box, you won't get given out to if you lose the ball trying something. Because there's just so much time where we spend where, like, nobody wants to try in. Everyone's going, oh, sure, like, I'll probably, if I try and put it through these players, like, I'll probably just lose it. Fuck it, just do it. Like, you're going to lose it anyway in 3 seconds when you pass it out to Milner and he falls over with his left foot across into the keeper's arms.
Even take a snapshot.
Like, yeah.
The only player we have that does that, and he's been bang out of form, is Sturridge. Huh? And the perfect example was the Everton game at Goodison. It was 90 minutes battling in the middle. There was no real clear-cut chances. Sturridge come on with, I think, 5 minutes to go, and he takes one snapshot. It catches their keeper off. The ball bobbles off the post, and Mane runs in, bang, 1-0. So it's not taking that chance and that gamble. I mean, no one willing to do it. Because
I think you had it on the head. I think Diamond said, and it's pointing in the same direction. You can't play the same formation and the same system over 38 games and not expect to be found out by some teams in the league. Now, we know that our system is good against teams, as you said, that come out and play against us. We can find gaps and we can create stuff. But we need something different. Yeah. It just needs something different.
Nothing has changed in the last almost 10 years then. Nothing. No matter who's in control.
20.
We've always been good against the top six teams. Always. And always been poor against the weaker teams.
But in the last... When Kenny was there,
we were shy against everyone.
Let's disregard that.
When Kenny was there for the second half of Kenny's
everyone. Since Rodgers left. So, since Rodgers came in, nothing has changed.
Well, Rodgers was grand in the first half, the sort of okay for the first half of 14-14.
That's semantics now, stop.
Incredible for the second half of 14-14. And do you know what drove it? A change in system.
Yeah, but
we went to a three at the back, and we went on this 13-14 game run. We were playing three at the back, and other teams couldn't figure out how to play.
Against the top teams, always. We never had a really bad record. So obviously, if we weren't doing well, we were losing against the weaker teams. Obviously, so. Nothing has changed, and I honestly don't think anything is going to change in the near future. I think we'll be sitting here talking about the same things next year.
We won't.
Because the Leicester thing was a freak.
These rippers are finished at the end of the season. It's hard enough to get you cunts in every fucking 2 weeks.
The age rippers are finished 2 seasons ago.
I don't even make a trip to Talent.
Just end this now. Just close the laptop.
Even the technology is giving out on us. It's like, oh, fuck that, you've done your run.
So if that's the president of you, I think we'll be talking about the same things here next year.
No, I actually don't think we will.
We're not going to win the league. I'm
not saying we're going to win the league, but I don't think
we're going to challenge consistently for the league. I'm not going to say ever. We'll do it once in a blue moon. Because it's just a makeup of way the club is. That's the way the club is run. And if you don't, and we're not going to sign the most expensive players. We're not going to give anyone big wages. And commensurately, over the years, whoever spends the most money is challenging at the top. And we're not going to do that. And if you don't like it, support someone else, because that's just the way it is. That's just the way FSG roll. Nah, and if you don't like it, that's just the way
next season.
So listen, what we want, so we want Klopp to overachieve to win the league. Yeah. And if he doesn't overachieve, even if he performs to 100% of his capability, we're not going to win the league. He has to perform to 125% of what he's capable of, which I know is impossible. So if he can't do that, we are fucked.
And we're we're talking about that recently. What's the plan if Klopp can't do that?
There's no
try and find another manager who can magic away like a league title out of, you know, beating.
So what? Basically, what we're asking him to magic us a league title is what we're asking him to do.
Magic us
when he was at Dortmund, he finished second.
Fuck this one. Talk to Zeta, right?
See you, Paul.
See you, Polly. When he was at Dortmund, he finished on average second in the league with the second biggest club. With the second biggest budget. So he performed to where he should perform.
When he finished top of the league.
Yeah, no, over.
And he won back-to-back titles.
Over the course of it. On average, he finished second in the league over the 7 years he was there. Am I right in saying that?
Well, no, but he still overachieved.
How did he, when he had the second biggest club with the second biggest budget?
Because he finished first.
Yeah, but on average, at the time he was there,
so
he
if I'm the second biggest team with the second biggest budget, and I finish above the fourth biggest team and the fourth biggest budget,
and a pen, do you want me to write it down for you? His mean position over the 7 years.
You don't need a mean position. We need him to win the league once. If we win the league once, it's like when England won the World Cup. We don't care what happens after that.
My point is, he done that with the second biggest team. Now he's doing it with the fifth.
We've been talking about beating Spurs 2-0 for a week.
Yeah, but
imagine what it'd be like if we won the league.
I know, but I don't think we're.
6 weeks of just talking about winning the league.
I hate to say it, I just don't think.
You touched on it earlier on there, and it was that point in the whole game where Klopp just sat there, and actually, I think he, along the same way as these cunts just can't do what we need to do with these certain games. That's why I'm kind of holding a little bit of faith for next season that he may be saying, well, these players are okay to do me in these games, but I do need two or three. They're going to do me in these
games. As Shani said there a while ago, we're clearing out this summer. We're doing another clear out. It's the only club in the world that does it every year.
I think there's a massive clear out.
This summer is huge. Because...
No, it's 3 months.
We're in transition again.
No, not even that. FSG,
we don't think we're in transition.
FSG have no...
No, I think we're just in permanence. Transition means you're going somewhere. Permanence just means that's what you are.
Yeah,
when Klopp didn't spend there in January, the fans were up in arms. FSG this, FSG that. And then Klopp came out and says, look, the money was there, I didn't spend it. Now, you're fucking stupid if you think John Henry didn't turn around and say, look, you need to make it clear there that you had something to spend and it was you. So Klopp obviously didn't go for the men in January. Now, if they're finishing top four, I think Phil said on the last pod, the calibre of player we can attract goes up by two. And are we going to give the wages? And are we going to pay the transfer fees to get these players in to compete at that level?
We will compete on transfer fees. No issue with that, right? It's when it comes down, what it seems to have been over the last few years, we have always competed on transfer fees. We're prepared to trial 25 million, 30 odd million for Benteke, whatever, right? So we're prepared to pay the fees. We don't seem to be prepared to break our wage structure. And if you look at Chelsea and you look at United and you look at
Arsenal broke theirs recently, and Arsenal done Ozil and Sanchez, right?
They are prepared to pay their biggest players, the most influential players, and their game winning players, the players who guarantee a Champions League football, whatever it takes, because they know that by paying that money they have a better chance of being in the Champions League the following year and mounting title challenges. Now there's an opportunity coming, because when Wenger leaves Arsenal, there's a void there that Arsenal haven't had to fill for nearly 20 years at this stage. There's an opportunity at the start of this season. You had Guardiola trying to fit into a new league. You had Mourinho going to United and trying to bed in his side, right?
You had
Conte coming in at Chelsea. And we had a manager who'd been already in situ ahead of all them and had an idea what was on the squad. Yeah. So you want to know why we started off well? Because we were taking advantage of what we should have been taking advantage. What we need now from Jurgen Klopp for the rest of the season is to, in his head, figure out a way to beat teams who know how to defend against this formation that he was using to get the results at the start of the season.
Surely he has come for up against us, that in Germany. Surely.
Well, there was a point.
I don't know much German football now.
One of the fellas that I would have talked about Bundesliga football or whatever pointed out that his Dortmund teams did struggle to break down stacked defences. Right? Now, they tended to break them down eventually, but they did have the likes of Lewandowski there. In his last seasons, he had Gundogan.
Yeah, Aubameyang.
In the same way, Gundogan was like an Alonso. He was sitting deep, but it was his ball. It was his quick breakthrough balls. He were able to suck them on and play quick breakthrough balls. You had the likes of Lewandowski. You had Blachowicz, Cuba on one side. You had the Korean chap on the other side who went to United. What's his name again?
Kagawa,
right? Yeah. Who was actually brilliant for Dortmund. When he went back, they loved him. They had Rouse then come in as well, and they were just set up, and they were able to attract. What they were great at being eventually able to do in games was to let teams feel like they had a sniff that took them out of their blocks, to let them come on and then create space around them. What we seem to have, and what Klopp hasn't been able to do, is get teams, when they come to Anfield, to sit there and attract them out. And when we've let them come out at all, they've tended to score us. And we've tended to throw away the result.
That's exactly right?
So they've just gone deeper and more compact. Yeah. And not being able, and it's been like this fucking horrific circle of saying, as we come out to let them come out and get a sniff, we give away a goal, and they just go deeper and more compact, and we just can't break them down.
So will time with that squad solve that problem then?
Are they incapable of it, like what me and Damo were saying?
You need silence.
Now, I will say, for me, I was really, really impressed with Wijnaldum for the first time ever in the sports game.
His pass for the goal was absolute quality.
Well, one of my biggest criticisms of Wijnaldum has been that most of his passing is sideways or backwards. Whenever the ball comes to him, people say it keeps it ticking over. That's great if you want to keep going backwards.
Yeah.
But what was great against Spurs was, for the first time, I've seen a range of passing. I've seen a probing level of passing which I hadn't seen from before. Right, and it was happening clean. So, look, long may that continue. And I said, I don't give a shit if I hate Wijnaldum being in the team. If we win the matches and we're winning every single game,
happy
and he starts
days.
Every game, I'll happily hate on seeing him in the team, because that means we're winning matches. Right? Yeah. I don't care who's in the team once we're winning games. But again, as Damo said, for me, I agree, it may take 3 or 4 signings to bring in. The one thing we shouldn't do is ignore the young players coming through and start just stacking players like we've done beforehand, which is stacking average to less than average players.
There's no point doing that. It has to be quality. There's no point just fucking bunch shoot. Just to have bodies. It has to be.
The only way you're going to keep quality players happy, though, is if you're winning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you need to be.
Well, he seems to look at the boy shoot, because he could have just fucking dipped in there in January when we all knew we needed a body and plucked any fucker from any league.
Yeah.
Just to fill a gap.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He didn't seem to want to do that. So that's,
you'd like to think that he has got the players identified. I thought that last summer. Fucking we're still wondering if he hasn't going to come up with the formula yet.
But do you not think, though, like, if you look at the players, right? So the players that we signed haven't really been the issue. Yeah. It's been the players
that are still there
from the previous regime and even the regimes before it.
Repeat offenders. Mignolet costing us
points. Right? We should never sign Mignolet.
Hell the name of Jesus.
Now, the one thing that hasn't worked with us on that is that Karius hasn't come in and dominated the position. Yeah. But the biggest fear, I said it as well, when you bring in a young keeper, a fella who's 21, 22,
he's going to struggle.
He could struggle. If things don't go perfectly.
We may have understated that a little. He hasn't come in and dominated the position. He has been awful, Philip.
Well, no, if you look back at our run, we were winning games, he was playing the team where and it was only over the Christmas time that he lost his position because.
And you could see he was shit. I could.
But
anyway.
I will say one thing.
I'm a good judge of goalkeepers.
Mignolet should never have been signed. Not for the money we spent on Mignolet at the time. We spent over €10 million on Mignolet at the time. And it was just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because at that time, the likes of De Gea had just gone for €18 million. I would rather have us signed a €20 million goalkeeper and not signed one of Markovic. So,
Begovic
like
went
that.
To Chelsea for
the,
fucking
the annoying million. Thing about it, Phil, is it's real fucking scatterbrain scouting and fucking signing players. Like, if you look at Mignolet, he's playing for Sunderland. He's getting fucking 40 fucking shots on him in a game.
Yeah.
He's probably saving 30 of them looking like a fucking great keeper.
But nine of them are going in. They're still fucking relegation for
that. But they're not looking how many fucking crosses he come for and dropped. Okay, no, but he saved loads of fucking shots. So he looks a good goalkeeper. But then you put him in a team that doesn't concede a lot of shots, but may concede fucking a lot of corners or coming in. For, and all of a sudden, what he's really good at doesn't come into fucking play at Liverpool, and is what he's weak at is kind of comes to the fore. It's been exposed, and that happens to a lot of players we sign. It seems to be, he's great at buzzing around and doing this for Sunderland or whoever it is, or Southampton. All of a sudden he goes into Liverpool, but we need you to keep the ball for fucking 60-70 minutes. I've never done that at any other club. Why you ask me to do it now? It's like we buy fucking players for the wrong role. Like, are we looking at the right type of player? We always seem to buy the wrong type of player. And it's them ones that are more comfortable, have ability on the ball for them games to where teams are sitting deep. Now, you can buy a fucking unbelievable worldie or you can get someone from somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's proper fucking scouting.
Sean, this is the first transfer window we're going to go into. Well, it's the second because we didn't sign anyone, so you can't really count that because we didn't sign anyone, right?
Yeah.
But this is the first transfer window coming up that our sporting director will be responsible for all the transfers. Does that give you any comfort? Because, look, the Liverpool massif has out there crying out for so long.
For
we want a sporting director.
Yeah.
Now we have a sporting director, right? We're going to have a new chief executive as well.
Yeah.
That's not Ian Eyre. So we can't say if things don't come off, it's all Ian Eyre's fault. He got on the wrong plane.
Yeah, he was the scapegoat, wasn't he?
So how long, or are you more confident that we can sign the players that we want to sign with a sporting director in there?
It comes down to one thing again, and it's going to be the willingness to give these players big wages coming in. They should have players earmarked now. They should be going around the likes of Europe, scouting Europe. Like Lacazette, he's coming out saying he's unsettled. Aubameyang's doing the same thing. we should be fucking rattling the cage, pushing the ball out there and getting in touch with these clubs. Because
the only thing I'll say to you on the Aubameyang thing, this, oh, we're in for Aubameyang. He did say at the start of January, when he was asked about being linked to Liverpool, and he said, no, that's not very likely.
Yeah, but...
Because he wants to go to Real Madrid.
Because he said no.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so and Real Madrid are looking for someone to replace Benzema. Now, it doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist.
Jack the Ripper isn't doing it.
but even then, in summer gone, when we missed out on Götze, it's like we were just hanging around for weeks waiting to see who was popping up. There was no...
Is the sporting director, is he identifying players and going and signing them, or is Klopp identifying them, or how's it working?
He's Michael Edwards. He was the former head of recruitment.
No, I know who he is, but what's his role? Is he identifying players?
Klopp is meant to say, right, Klopp, so Klopp has his own... This is Buvac who goes and susses out players that he's interested in, right? He'll go to Edwards. Edwards, in the same way himself, it would be a combo.
Is it going to be this committee show again, though? No,
this goes on at every club. They just don't call it anything.
This fella's job could be the easiest job in the world if he had loads of money. Just go and get him. Okay, how much is he? 100 million sound. How much you want? Wait, just grant. I'll just bring the check with me.
Yeah.
We're never going to work.
But that's not going to work. I'm going to give him 40 quid and a pack of walkers and tell him it's a diesel Mondeo parked around the back of Melwood for you.
Well, listen, if it's done correctly, you can get fucking quality players. It's been proven. That's just down to scouting, and it's down to a proper eye for a footballer. And like, you can't constantly be saying, like, fuck it, let's buy someone for 40 million. Where was he last year? He was playing for St Mirren, and then Southampton bought him, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, how much did he pay for him? 1 million. He's the same player he was a year ago. You know,
Think about it. Who was the last player that we signed that the day he signed for the club, he was world class?
Suarez.
No.
Torres.
Yeah. Fernando Torres was the last player when he signed for the club.
I think he was world class.
He was only coming into being a top level striker, and he became world class.
Yeah, it was a gamble.
I think he was.
Because we remember, like, he'd only come out of the last World Cup as sort of the reserve striker for Spain, and then started making his name in the second group games.
Him and Suarez, I would have put at the same level when we signed both of them. They both had this swagger. Star quality.
But we only got Suarez because he was a mad cunt. And Ajax couldn't hear him anymore.
Yeah, nobody wanted him,
So what?
That was great. Bit of business.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Nearly lost him.
It doesn't matter who's in charge. Whether Klopp's point of players, a fucking committee, or this sporting director. It's going to come down to wages. If you can give the players the wages, they'll come and play. Champions League football doesn't mean fucking shite. Where else went for Man City when they were out of Champions League?
United went
Pogba. Ibrahimovic, same thing. It's wages. If you can play these players, the whack, they're going to come in and play for you.
Absolutely.
It's not like Klopp saying, I don't want Champions League hunters. You should want that level of player in your club.
Yeah.
Because, like, how many Champions League quality players have you got now in the 11? Not to be fucking...
I think we've got, when people say Champions League and all this fucking quality and all this type of stuff, right? I think we have a team there that definitely has Champions League quality running through. The problem is, you need some key vital cogs in that team to make it pour like a dream, right? Going back, your midfielder, who's going to be your go-to man at all times, you can make do with the other lads there when you need to fill in and out, but you need the fella who's going to be the fulcrum. Henderson can fill in and do a job there, but I would actually prefer probably see Henderson pushed on in a role where his engine, where he'll go up and down all day for you. Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, again, he can fill in. So if you have that player, if you have the Dahu, if you have somebody of that ilk who's going to come in and pull the strings and be a quick distributor and be able to screen that back four, you're straight away, you're in a different position as a team.
And that's what it kind of boils down to, where we are at the moment. We've got loads of players that can do loads of jobs, but we've no real players that are kind of specialists.
Mm.
And we need to add some specialists to the team.
We have the manager now.
Yeah.
We all agree we have a world-class coach now.
We just
need to back him. Simple as that, and if I'm not going to back him, there's no point fucking giving him 6 and 7 year contracts, because you're only selling everyone a fucking dream.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen this summer, FSG, the FSG out is now bad enough, but if it comes up until this stage next year and we're in the fucking same boat, am I saying, well, in the summer we can get the players in.
It's not the model we're operating off, you know what I mean?
I think we just have to accept it. But the FSG model is meant to be to find the next stars. Yeah. Right? So that you always have a team full of stars that emerge at your club.
Yeah.
So that when you do go to sell them on, you sell them on for monster fees.
Yes.
The Sterling, the Suarez type ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
problem
yeah.
is, we found the Carrolls.
Yeah. Right? Markovic.
And the Markovic's. Right? And the Aquilani's. I know they weren't there for that one, but like, yeah. might as well show
El Principino?
El Principino.
He was terrible for all of us.
Principino. Right? But no, do you know what I mean? We found, that's the guys that we, that's the issue here. We're meant to be our scouting network has to be so good at identifying the talent for us to compete for league titles in that basis.
Yeah.
It has to be something that hasn't been seen in England before and is rarely achieved in any other league, because going back to your point, it tends to be the biggest spenders with the biggest wages end up at the top of the league. And it's always, you see the likes of Sevilla, fantastic recruitment of the whole lot. They weren't challenging for league titles. Atletico Madrid, everyone's going, what a story, Atletico Madrid. Two biggest spenders in Spain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, Leipzig in Germany now. Well.
Leipzig, yeah. Come in.
Very tough story.
Red Bull.
40 fucking billion.
Red Bull are basically giving that club wings.
Yeah.
Right? There's no... there's Leipzig, give them wings, bang, up the leagues you go, and straight away you're in and you're challenging. So no matter what we do, to do what we want to do, to do what FSG want to do, has never...
been done before.
Been done.
Yeah,
on a regular basis.
And I think the level of finance in England is so high now, I don't know whether it can be achieved.
Well, look, you take the top five clubs in England and you take the money that's there, they will be the biggest clubs
in the world.
If you talked about individually and put them in all the other leagues,
they
will be the biggest clubs in those leagues.
Yeah.
Maybe with the exception of Real Madrid, Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
The way it is, football has just become a business.
Yeah.
And it's the owners of clubs, they know the level, and their main thing is to make as much fucking money as possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones that you have there, the Man City owners, the Chelsea owners, or Ambridge. They just literally they're in fucking London money or whatever
Chelsea turned a profit last year. Man City, for all the madness that's going on at Man City, the lads who are in there have used Man City as a vehicle for Abu Dhabi. Right. They've used it for. They've turned the stadium into an advertisement.
It's a franchise now.
They've franchised the city trademark across New York, Australia, the whole lot, and all of that's bringing business to Abu Dhabi. It's Etihad Airways.
Yeah.
It's the Abu Dhabi Tourism Corporation. The whole lot. And so people say, "Oh, look, they're just pumping loads of money in." Of course they are.
But they're making
That's television time globally.
Yeah.
So every time you see it, it's just pure advertising
business. Yeah.
If you're a company, if I'm Etihad Airways, and I've probably got an advertisement budget of 100 million a year or something like that, or 50 million a year or whatever it is, because you know I need to do it, I'm global and the whole lot, I either have to go and do all my stuff, or I put myself on the front of some of the biggest clubs in those countries and the sports that are going on, and it's always on the television.
So
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Is FSG's model redundant now?
No, I don't think it is, because they bought Liverpool for 300 million, it's now valued at a billion.
1.2 or something.
Maybe 1.2 billion.
But they're not going to sell it, so...
But if someone came offering to hand them a cheque for 1.2 billion, they'll sell it. Fucking right they will. But no one is going to offer them that much money because it's overvalued, I think, anyway. So if, from their point of view, they're a sports investment firm. They bought a club in debt. It's solvent now and it's in profit, I think, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we are in profit
now. And all of a sudden, it's worth four times what they spent on it. So their plan is working perfectly. Does it work for us as fans just with the romance of football? No, absolutely it doesn't. No.
Hey, Arsenal are in the exact same position, in my opinion. We're going to probably slow you further on down the line. They're not overly spending. They're not, and they're a good manager. Wenger's a good fucking manager.
Arsenal spent 100 million in the summer.
But see, the thing about
what's 100 million nowadays?
No, but what I'm saying, Arsenal got the stadium built at the right time. They're sitting on cash reserves there because Wenger hasn't been spending money, right? And what's the outcome of Wenger not spending money? Even though they've only started spending recently, they haven't been winning titles.
They're not competing.
Yeah, but they compete
to a certain level. They compete to the level that you'd expect them to compete at because they aren't the top spenders in the league and they aren't the top players.
They have spent money, but only enough to maintain the level.
There's lads sitting in a boardroom and their idea of success might be different to the fans' idea of success. And success to them is fucking profit at the end of the year, well-run club and getting Champions League football, merchandise, the whole lot.
Yeah.
We're sitting here, we want fucking silverware. But they look at things differently than us, and I think Arsenal have probably taken that approach. Spurs have taken that approach, you know. But again, three good managers ourselves, Spurs, and Arsenal.
They're being hamstrung.
They're fucking great managers, and they're not going to compete really. They'll compete to a level with City and Chelsea. Chelsea and City will have their blips.
But yes, as you're saying, when the money comes
and
down.
And United as well, don't forget United.
United as well, throw them in there because they'll swing back.
They'll come good next year.
City underachieved last year, right?
Yes.
Chelsea massively underachieved.
Yeah.
Because of the money that was spent compared to the position that the
end everybody did last year. Really.
No, but do you know what I'm saying? So you look at this year and you start looking at the respective positions of teams in the league. Right?
Probably where they should be.
With the exception maybe Spurs and City.
Yeah.
If you reverse Spurs and City, if City were second now and Spurs were fourth.
City are second now. City are second.
Yeah. That's the last time I stopped looking at the table and started depressing me. When we're top two, I was like, I'm not looking at that anymore. Right, but no, then there we are.
Yeah.
We have Chelsea and City who are the biggest players in the league, right? Yeah. And the biggest wage players in the league. You've got Arsenal and Spurs. You have Arsenal who are third, we know that, right? So the ones who are really underachieving at the moment are United. But they're within touching distance of being top three.
Plenty of points.
This is what I'm saying. And then, if you have those three in it, you've got your biggest spenders. And you have Arsenal, you have your four biggest spenders. Then it's between ourselves and Spurs who are next in the league in terms of
spenders. Which goes back to what I was saying. So Klopp has to overachieve for us to win anything.
I completely agree with you, right? And I'm saying to you, he has overachieved. So maybe not to the extent that you've talked about, that you need to win the league to do so, right? But he has overachieved. For even him to get into the top four this year, he will overachieve.
So to be critical of him is really unfair then.
Yeah.
Well, he signed the contract and accepted
the terms. He accepted the terms and conditions.
You know what I mean?
There's terms and conditions behind every contract and he knows what he's getting into.
Yeah, he knew it. Exactly. He knew what he was getting into, yeah.
But do we? And this is the thing.
That's why I'd have called him an egomaniac, by the way.
But yeah, I know. But you were, you meant. Go on. But, you know, it can sound a bit depressing on the hold up, but there has to be hope there. If Leicester City can win the league,
that'll never happen again though.
They said that. No, it always happens. Every 10 years somebody always wins the league.
There's always something happening.
Except for fucking us.
I didn't expect it.
Blackburn done it, North Forest done it, fucking Leicester done it.
Blackburn was the 90s.
Villa.
I know, but I'm saying every decade
it does happen.
It does. You always get a team. Leicester are probably just doing the reverse quicker than we expected. Win the league. Now, that's grand, lads. We're off to the championship for a bit because it'll be a bit of crack.
It does always boil down to there's always a club that just get a bunch of fucking players at a particular time that just become special.
Perfect.
We missed that chance, didn't we?
Big thing Leicester had gone for them last year was
Kante.
Not even that. They were Leicester.
Yeah.
And in them games,
everyone thought they could have a go.
Everyone thought they could have a go.
Exactly.
After.
For 38 games, their
plan did work because the whole time, up until fucking, I can't remember the result, I think it was when you beat City away, people were going, fucking hell, these are going to win the league, aren't they?
So, Sean, what you're trying to say then is that if we played possum for a season, maybe just hung around the relegation.
If we played possum in the first 20 minutes of our fucking games possum. Against these.
Possum FC. They're a new franchise of Manchester City.
If we played possum in the first 20 minutes of the games against these so-called lesser sides, we might have more points.
But what we're saying earlier on about comes down to ability. Leicester are suffering what we suffer now. Last season, he's just hit the teams come out and attack them and they shoot them. They fucking tore them. Now, Leicester are being given more of the ball. And all of a sudden, you've got a lot of players that fucking look shy. The Drinkwater looks like this unbelievable midfielder.
You've got to buy him.
I know, because that was 20 minutes.
Of course.
He looks like a fucking.
Because
all of a sudden, Drinkwater has fucking lost more possession of the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what they're suffering, what we're suffering a little bit from, you know, where teams now aren't. Teams are respecting them more. Liverpool, teams respect us.
It spills over into Europe as well, because if you look at that form in Europe, is this a fucking Leicester podcast?
This is what I'm going to say. Okay,
if it spills over into Europe, and there's still a bit of an onion in Europe, and you are still turning out results there.
People are having a pop.
Here we go. So, because it's a nice segue, and I'm glad we were able to turn it around now. Very naturally, without having to force it in at all. We've got Leicester and we've Arsenal in our next two games. I'm covering the next two games because I don't know what we're going to do the next pod, right? So
Everton maybe. Have we Everton after that?
No, we've got Burnley, then Man City. Okay, so our next four games are Leicester, Arsenal, Burnley, and Man City.
So we've probably got
6 points there and two losses. Right? You can figure out the order of them yourself in terms of who's where. But all joking aside, we've Leicester. Is Leicester now a bigger test than Spurs?
Yes.
Well,
no, I don't think so. I think Leicester are fucking spent force. I really do.
Why is that the Swansea match demo?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Now, come here. And the reason I'm asking this question is because if you look at our run then, we've got after our next four games, we've got Leicester, Arsenal, Burnley, City. Right? After that, we've Everton, Bournemouth, Stoke, West Brom, Crystal Palace, Watford, Southampton, West Ham, and Middlesbrough.
You'd say, any other club with that run in, I'd say Derek. Got nailed on for top four, but now, because it's Liverpool,
this is my point.
I don't know whether we are, because we can't perform.
Does this Leicester game not become a crux match that if we can go out and they sit there and sit there deep and we destroy them?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming
then
from.
Then all of a sudden, all those teams, Burnley, Everton, Bournemouth, Stoke, West Brom, Crystal Palace are looking at Liverpool going, fuck, they figured out how to break this block.
Yeah. Our tactic, we don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
City and Arsenal are saying, do you know what? We'll take a point here.
Yeah.
We'll take a point here in these games.
Yeah, and let them fucking fall on their own sword against the shit.
Because they can't beat those sides.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing in Champions League.
Yeah, they're playing Wednesday in Sevilla. And I have a feeling they probably get a run around over there because, let's be honest, Sevilla are a fucking fast.
So we should be coming out fucking 100 miles an hour, snapping, moving the fucking ball like it's snow tomorrow. Like.
That's what we expect.
Yeah. But it'll kill me if you just went up to pop.
2 weeks rest. 2 weeks. Jamie Vardy's gone in again, bollocks. It's the Roy Hodgson, isn't it?
I like that boy, no?
You're looking at another thing that they're running and saying that fucking the bottom half teams, our last four games, Palace, Watford, Southampton, West Ham, Middlesbrough, they should all be safe around that time. Hopefully them cunts are gone on holidays by the times you play them.
Yeah, hold him out.
Yeah, because that's going to be huge.
Because
I think there's a block of games. I was looking at the fixtures. Arsenal play Spurs and then play United. And then United have the week Arsenal playing fucking United. It's fucking the teams around us are all playing each other.
Yeah.
So we can pick up the points there and just give ourselves the smallest bit of breathing space going into those last five or six games.
But back to the Leicester.
The Leicester thing is absolutely, now that you put a point on it, Phil, it is crucial.
A massive.
It is really, isn't it?
We all are, but I think that one could be it.
I hate the return.
Like if we batter them 4-5 or whatever, a really convincing win, it does give, like Phil said, gives everyone else something to think about.
Even in 08-09, when we challenged for the league that year, right? There was the end of February. Remember, we had the start of February.
Yeah,
we played Middlesbrough and we were going to Real Madrid and we were like, putting nappies on because we just thought we were going to get our arses bashed. In terms of what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden...
Was that 4-0, was it?
No, it was 1-0. It was 1-0 to Bernabeu. And then we came back. It was 1-0 to Bernabeu. Then we came back, battered United, and then turned them over 4-0 at home.
Yeah. Wasn't that when we went away to Marbella and fucking Bellamy got the fucking golf club out? Yeah. So hopefully someone gets a golf club out. And knocks that bollocks out. Lucas! Far into the forehead.
But in fairness, this is what I'm saying to you. This is one of these matches at this point in the season where if it goes horribly wrong and all of a sudden United are ahead of us and we're sixth and Everton within 3 points of us,
who else plays that weekend? Is any other
United don't play next weekend because they're playing Southampton in the final.
Yeah.
Well, today they have a weekend off, isn't it? But it is a defining moment, isn't it?
But you could put 4 points gap between you and United again. Yeah, that's a massive. Even though it doesn't seem, but it is
mentally. It's a two game. It means that they have to go in and they have to win that game in hand. And if they don't win that game in hand, they go bollocks.
Yeah.
How the fuck can we? If we can't even catch fifth, there's no way we're getting top four.
Yeah.
In the back of their heads, they're saying, "Shit, we missed."
You need a two game. If you win a game, you still don't catch it. You know, you need a two game gap to kind of make teams who
have to go.
Yeah, you have to go for it, you know.
Even then, even though we're fifth, we're 2 points off second, it's still in our hands because we have to play Arsenal and we have to play City.
Yeah.
So we have to beat them.
To be honest,
I would love to fucking, I don't want to say fourth, I want to aim for third because I'm a sneaky bastard feeling that we'll get fourth, you know.
I was reading.
Doesn't make a difference.
That can be fourth team.
They changed the rule on that. Because remember, Chelsea won the Champions League and finished outside the top five, and finished fifth, and Spurs finished fourth, and Spurs lost the Champions League spot because Chelsea were playing instead.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
So they changed the rules around that time, and the Europa League now isn't considered as part of your league.
It's a separate one.
It's you are the champions of the Europa League, so that means that you go into the Champions League.
Spain had five teams in Europe.
Yeah, Sevilla went in.
A couple of years ago, so.
So Sevilla went in this year. Yeah, and they're now playing playing Leicester in the knockout stage.
Who's the manager of Sevilla?
It's not Emery, because he's managing PSG.
Who oversaw
the demolition of Barcelona there during the week. It's an interesting one, isn't it, Emery?
It's amazing when you focus about 50 million on a player. In January, the difference
you can make. But they got your man that we were going for, didn't they, Draxler?
Yeah, we're going to go for him.
Yeah,
we were typing in the phone over on the fax. The next minute, we know the score. They just come on back. Did you not press end?
Put the phone down. Stewart's fit.
Don't need him.
The flash. As he's known.
Come on back to transfers. Isn't it a bit refreshing that the player we did actually spend 30 million on this summer is the one making the difference?
Yeah, it absolutely is, Sean.
Mane coming in. And
like, every one of us would have questioned the value that was put on.
Yeah, even me.
He's been
I may have questioned every single penny.
I don't know what I'm saying. That's not why. But you know what? He's been worth every single... The first time in ages we've spent money on a 30 million player who's genuinely stepped up to the mark. I loved the way he played against Spurs. And the finishes and the whole... There was one when he got 3-0 and I was thinking, oh, you fucker, that could be 3-0.
Oh, him
and the race. I hate to be a bit pessimistic, but do you wonder, not only seems to be going in off the shins and all that shit.
Is he going to stop?
Is that going to dry up?
Fuck off, you.
He said that about Suarez and he scored a billion goals since. Hits his shins and just bang.
Yeah.
So, lads...
We thought that about Harry Kane as well.
We'll definitely do a podcast before Arsenal because that's in March. That's how far away it is.
It's my birthday off the 10th, so I'm not available the week before or the week after.
All right, fair enough. That's the 4th March, so you won't be
around. I don't want that.
It's going to be a war. But yeah, so our next game is the 27th of February, which is 10 days away, which is a long time. A long, long time. We'll have had probably the new podcast that we're doing now.
So anyway, listen, we're not going to be here before the Leicester match.
Yeah.
Predictions then.
No, we probably...
Are we going to do it? Will we?
We might be, but look, you probably won't be here before the Leicester game, so... What would you like to say?
Well, maybe this crew won't be here anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We could be all dead. Trump could hit the button.
Hang on, do you think we'll win?
Do
you think we'll beat Leicester?
You're asking me?
Yes.
I think, believe it or not, because I am Mr. Fucking Hypernegative, as you know, right? But I think we're going to beat Leicester 6-0. Yeah.
I think we're on belt.
Get off the fence, will you, Phil?
What about you, Shani?
But if we lost 6-0, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think we're going
to... I know what you mean. Yeah, you think we're going to get the going to drop a type of thing.
I think with them, they're playing. They play two games before we play them. We play the FA Cup now on Saturday, and then they go and play Sevilla, who are a much better team. So if they get washed by Sevilla, they're going to be deflated. They're fucking scrapping for points. They've been absolutely shocking.
Yep.
So...
I would love to see it from Asia.
I think.
Stop doing the last.
No, I think it's the perfect time for us to play them.
Everything is in our favour.
Yeah, exactly.
Liverpool could lose this.
Exactly. No, coming off the Spurs result and looking like the team that we were fucking whitewashing teams coming up to Christmas again. That element of doubt has been in the back of Leicester says, no matter how many fucking men they put behind the ball, they can't do that because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
They can't take a point because they're drowning now and Ranieri's under serious pressure and we just need to go and fucking pour it on them.
Demo.
I agree with a lot of that. I actually do think we're going to give them a bit of a fucking pace in that game. You know, and I'd normally wonder when I look at this game and say, no, this is definitely a fucking bananas game for us. But no, at the worst ones against Spurs, not saying that the penny dropped because we still have to come up against and be asked them questions again. I just don't think Leicester have that in them. I just don't think they have it in them anymore.
Neil,
I think a hooker scandal in Le Mans could derail everything. What do I think?
Hooker scandal in Le Mans. What type of hooker? Normandy?
You've been talking there.
the Siemens hub overflowed with the milk.
We beat last time and pictures in the back of the paper and the legs and midgets and everything. Season over.
I tell you,
I'm with you, Phil. It's just mindless enthusiasm and positivity.
Blowing
and
faith.
I do think.
But that's what this group is about, is mindless enthusiasm and positivity.
I think we beat them convincingly, I do, honestly.
Yeah. That's not Theo living around here. I told you, Rishi.
I told you.
I said it.
I don't want to
be right.
Right, Grant. So we won't bother talking about Arsenal. We'll cover that at the next time. Right, so quick trippers chats, right? Somebody said, how
we should give Lucas Leiva a statue outside the stadium with Harry Kane peeping out of his pocket. Yeah, strange enough, you'll have to build a joint pocket though with Lucas Leiva sitting in it for all the probably players
more,
to have.
In fairness, the statue would probably be more mobile than he is. Yeah.
Could the statue play instead of
just before cast us on the bottom
and push him out for the last minute of the game? He's got to give away less race.
With a little voice box. With a little voice box and like
I don't think we get into that enough about that bellend going on to Twitter said, yeah, well, didn't we win today? So there. And then we get up the phone.
It was like being in first class in school, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I would, yes. Thing is, he was obviously searching his name because your man.
Well, he wasn't tagged. Hang on, there's a couple of elements to that because the person that was involved in it, you know, was probably a less than nice character anyway, right? So it was like there's been a lot of well done, Lucas, for doing that, not because of what he did, but because of who he did it to, right? But there's also if you actually stand back and make this raw and just say professional footballer searches his own name on Twitter and gives guff back to someone who says I don't like you, right?
In fairness, I think all footballers should do it.
I think so. I'm there going, you know, in this day and age, it's not the done thing. But you know what?
Bollocks.
Fuck it. It would be great if they're all on going, Neil, what did you say about me? Imagine fucking carrying us on Nilo. Yeah. Nilo, I seen you on first dates. The hack of you. What are you like?
Emily Chan Con is all fat cunt.
Yeah. Fat cunt. You call me a fat cunt. Look at the size of you. And you say, come down. Then we have a square off. We'll do a pass off. Stay your board. What are you driving around in your fucking 1992 ladder?
Enjoy a building suite in the morning, you freak.
Do you know what? Go and build this cleavage. Hacky you.
Your ma.
Your ma. Your ma. Storage. God won't fucking sort you out. Your ma. Right. Stephen Amon, two first names for you. Do any of you lads have a morning routine?
No.
I do, actually, yeah. I get up, I blame Lovren, and I go back to bed.
My morning routine is to sleep through the morning until midnight.
Get up, say a prayer to Sacco, and go back to bed.
Yeah, I go down and tell me, man, I want FSG out that Sacco paints gaffs in Merseyside.
You go down in your FSG out pajamas.
And Lovren is responsible for 2.5 goals a game.
2.5? And he has his Lucas 21 jersey. Unlucky!
Any more of them Sacco tablets in the first?
I'm feeling a bit chunky this morning. Today's my new day. Tablets, please.
I missed that. Who did he sign for?
Crystal Palace.
They haven't won a game since.
They're relegated.
It's all right, though. It's all right. He has it in hand. Playing centre back. Grant. Mane. Best
back.
Around.
Mane. Yeah, are you up back. To do it, Paul?
Huh?
Who are you up after do it, Paul?
All right, Grant. Somebody said, what if Klopp fails?
Stop it. We move on.
Well, if he fails, then it just proves that no matter how you get into the club, it's just going to be a lottery as to how this thing pans out.
There you go, Ron.
The price turnips from Timmy Murray. Well, Timmy, that led me on to think about this. Lads, for the last few weeks, there's been no spinach and lettuce in the supermarkets.
Hold on.
What's the crack?
I actually haven't eaten this.
See, there was a drought in the north of Spain where we normally get our lettuce from.
So just buy it off the south of Spain.
But they didn't have it in the south of Spain because
the boys
it's
are
too
over
hot
in the
to grow
manga
there.
Now
it's too hot to grow there. They're going to grow in Italy. It's too hot to grow in Italy. All the lettuce that we in Holland, it seems to be as well, is made. But there was a drought that affected spinach and lettuce, right? And I think this is the first sign of the bees disappearing.
We're all dead.
It's the bees.
Well, I think the first sign of the bees disappearing. The plants are less resilient to the owl.
Well above my pay grade, that is. Well, hold on. Well, fucking lettuce have nothing to do with bees. They've no nectar.
What? Well, it's all the plants.
Just fuck off, Phil.
I was accepting you for a minute.
Hold on.
What? Yeah.
Hold on, I'll just take this tin foil hat off.
We had the spinach thankfully came back in at the weekend. We bought loads of packets of it.
Just in
start
case.
Up. If the fridge is like, the fridge is like, it only goes to a nuclear bunker. It's just spinach everywhere. How can I get the milk in?
Don't see too one of them peppers from.
Stockpiling are like fucking average players in the 2011-12 season. Just
over
fucking
the team, spinach and Lucas. Right, lads. Until next time.
Sayonara.
Cheerio.